Welcome once again to The Common Table. I am so glad you are joining us as we continue our series, Things Jesus Never Said. Reading the words of Jesus from the Gospels gives us an incredible picture of what it looks like when heaven meets earth, and there is a ton of instruction packed in there about the way we are called to live. Sometimes I find it helpful to also look at the things Jesus didn't say. For instance, Jesus never said, "Go into all the world and preach whatever makes you happy." Jesus never said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must affirm themselves, avoid the cross, and follow their own heart." He also never said, "Ask and it will be given to you because God is your celestial sugar daddy." That's my favorite. He never said that. We live in a culture without absolute truth, for the most part. Something that might be true to you may not be true to me, and that has to be okay, right? You do you. Or if I don't like your truth or your facts, I can reject them and substitute my own reality, my own facts, and my own truth. As long as I'm not hurting anyone, I can do whatever makes me happy, right? Isn't that what the grace of Jesus is all about? I'm not so sure. Let's take a look at a story from the Gospel of John to see what Jesus really had to say about truth in our lives. In John chapter 8, Jesus is teaching at the temple, and a group of Pharisees drag in a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. They say to Jesus, "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" And the scripture goes on in verse 6 to say they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him, meaning Jesus. Now, let's stop right there for just a second, because Jesus hasn't said a word yet, and we have a lot to unpack. First of all, as far as I know, it takes two people to commit adultery. Now, the law and the culture in the region at this time only holds the woman accountable, even though there was clearly a man involved too. Where is he? This inequity is an issue that still haunts our society and our churches to this very day. Progress has been made, sure, but we have a long way to go. So often, the woman in this story is viewed as a faceless sinner. Surely the Pharisees see her that way, but I would argue that all too often, we do too. We rush straight to Jesus' reaction to this situation and fail to stop and see a woman in the most vulnerable, embarrassing moment of her life. On top of that, she's being paraded into a room full of men to be used as an object, as a tool for the Pharisees to try and trap Jesus. Her humanity is stripped away, and in this moment, she is only her mistake, her sin, and nothing else. That's what makes Jesus' reaction so countercultural and so incredible. Jesus knows what the Pharisees are up to. He knows that this is a trap, and they don't think there's a right answer for him to give. They've got him. It looks like a no-win situation for Jesus. If he agrees that the law should be followed and she should be stoned, then he loses his reputation as being full of grace and love. And on the other hand, if he says it's okay that an exception should be made, then he's breaking the law of Moses and apparently condoning adultery. What in the world is Jesus going to do? He stops. He sees this woman in front of him, and rather than trying to think of a way to protect himself or spin his way out of the situation, he sees her in the context of her accusers, in the context of the situation, and responds. It goes like this. "But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to walk away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there." Now this begs the question, what on earth did Jesus write on the ground? There are some later manuscripts that suggest that Jesus began to list the sins of those gathered there. Maybe it was just a list of the temptations that all of us are constantly facing: greed, envy, lust, or pride. Regardless of what Jesus actually wrote, it's clear that he forced the people gathered there to reckon with their own sins, because eventually there is no one left to throw a stone. For some reason, when we see another person caught in addiction, accused of a crime, or guilty of some sin, we tend to react just like the Pharisees did. We stop seeing the person and only see the sin. Then we ignore our own sin and brokenness and place ourselves above the other and judge them accordingly. This is our natural reaction, our selfish nature, and we have to be intentional about following Jesus' example here. Sin is sin. We don't rank some sins as worse than others. We are all guilty and all in need of the grace that Jesus offers. Going back to our scripture, in verse 10, Jesus stands up from writing on the ground and says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus sees the person in front of him, recognizes the humanity of the individual, the hundreds or maybe thousands of small choices that led her to this moment, and says, "Your mistakes do not define you. You are my child, and you are good, not because of anything you've done, but simply because you are mine. Hurry, live a life that shows others that truth. Leave your life of sin behind you so that you can show others the freedom that comes from living in me." Temptations are all around us. The struggle with addiction is real. All of us are guilty of sin, but we serve a God that calls us to work together in truth and in love to build each other up, not condemning one another, but working alongside our brothers and sisters in the midst of our brokenness, so that the freedom that comes from the truth can be seen by everyone. Let's pray. God, I pray that we could see the truth. I pray that we could see you. God, you are love. Let us see your reflection in every person that we encounter. Let us encounter the world with a mindset that says, we are in this together. My problems aren't bigger than your problems. My struggles aren't bigger than your struggles. We all struggle together. So God, let us work together. Let us be a church that recognizes the humanity of all people, that reaches out to even people that we disagree with, and especially people who disagree with us, in a way that loves and supports and grows them, so that we can demonstrate the freedom that comes of living a life of holiness, God. That it is not a life of constraint and boredom and rule following, but it is an exciting life with exciting possibilities, with the opportunity to change the world around us for good. God, I pray that you would light a fire in us to live that life, to be that example to the people that we encounter. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.